with the word tonight. Give us ears to hear what you're speaking to us individually and corporately. And thank you for the opportunity for us to be blessed together and individually as you're speaking to us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, tonight is Thursday, October 28th, 2021. I ran across something earlier this week that I found extremely interesting. Seems to be a translation follow-up in the Old Testament. We know the devil is referred to as Satan 52 times, right, in the Bible. Even Jesus referred to him as Satan when he spoke about it. In Matthew 4, he said, "Get thee hence, Satan." In Matthew 20 or 16, he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Luke 10, he says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Only once in the Bible is Satan referred to as Lucifer. Anybody ever think about that? Only in Isaiah 14:12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" So I went into the original text. I had three screens going and brought up the Hebrew and copied it over. And then translated it, and Lucifer comes up as day star, son of the morning, or Hallel ben Shakar. Hallel means greatly praised. Ben always means sun. Shakar means morning or dawn. So greatly praised son of the morning. Now, where's Megan? What's Lucifer mean in Latin?
Bearer.
The light bearer. Okay. Now, that's the references to Lucifer in the Bible. In the non-canonical book of Enoch, which was written somewhere between 200 BC and 100 AD, it tells the tale of the devil Lucifer having intimate relations with his wife Lilith, who was Adam's first wife. I mean, we all know it's a story. It was written thousands of years after it was supposed to happen. That's what brought about the Nephilim, according to the story. But we know that angels and humans can't have intimate relations because Jesus tells us in Matthew 22, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." So these myths, although they're still accepted in mythology, they've been discounted in Christianity. So I'm just saying that book of Enoch really spread the word Lucifer, where it was only used once in the Bible. Now let's see where this comes from. Saint Jerome was born sometime between 342 and 347 BC. It's recorded he died in Bethlehem on September 30th, 420. Supposedly, he had been working in the very cave in which Jesus was born. He is the man who was responsible for translating the Latin Vulgate, or the Greek Septuagint, into the Latin Vulgate. That was his life's work. And he used the adjective Lucifer to describe Satan. And it got translated and used as a proper name. Now, he was a bishop. He was very close to the Pope. And was considered up there with the uppity-ups. Now, at the same time that this was going on, there was a man named Lucifer that was a priest. that was contending for the bishopric with Jerome. He died in 370. This man, Lucifer, attended the Council of Milan in 355 as a representative of Pope Liberius. There, he defended the Bishop of Alexandria, who had been condemned for his opposition to Arianism, or the Arian heresy, that holds that the Son of God is not co-eternal with God, the Father, and is distinct from the Father, therefore subordinate to him. So he was defending that bishop for knocking that down. Lucifer didn't believe that. He was trying to get the Catholic Church not to listen to it and not believe it. However, Jerome, being a good Catholic, ate whatever was fed to him and argued with it. So, the book of Isaiah was written sometime between 740 and 701 BC. So for about 1,000 years, the word Lucifer was not even present in the Bible until Jerome translated it into the Latin. So the belief that Satan was called Lucifer prior to the fall is pretty unlikely. Yeah, I was always taught that was Satan's name before his fall. But if it wasn't in there for 1,000 years, that's not likely to happen. Lucifer is just a Latin adjective to describe the greatly praised son of the dawn. But isn't that interesting? We were all taught that. It's almost like Jerome put it in there to vilify this bishop and make him look bad. I just thought that was kind of a interesting case of how things get translated and said. I never realized that. All right. That's Lucifer. Now, what I want to teach on today is the prophet Nahum. Nahum. Nahum was a prophet at the end of the Assyrian Empire. He wrote specifically about the city of Nineveh. His name means comforter, and it's believed that he wrote prior to the destruction of Nineveh in 612. Some believe he was writing a report after. It's hard to tell. But we will go to Nahum, starting in chapter 3, verse 1. There's not a whole lot on Nahum that I could find, historically speaking, huh? It says, "Woe to the bloody city, it's all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip, and the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses. And there is none end to their corpses. They stumble upon the corpses." Now it seems like Nineveh was pretty much like it was during the time of Jonah. And it had fallen away from God again. And it began to start influencing the surrounding area. It seems that Nahum took a tour of the city and observed how ripe it was for God's judgment. He found it was busy with violence, deception, and idolatry. It's a city of blood where innocent blood is being shed and crimes go unpunished. They shed blood and told lies in pursuit of the prey that they might enrich themselves. Verse 4, "Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcraft." Nineveh was a great metropolitan at the time, and it had aspirations of being a universal monarchy, and to have all her neighbors subjected to her. Nineveh not only used military might, but also charms and spells and idolatry and deception and lies to compel people to believe it would be to their advantage to subject themselves to the ruling class of Nineveh. She courted surrounding areas to joining in her idolatrous practices to get them caught up in her sin, then used her wealth and power to take advantage over them and exercise her dominance. It was for this reason that God was intervening. God never intended for a nation of tyrants to rule over another nation of slaves.